The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We are Living by the Word Ministries, a nonprofit organization dedicated to one cause. That cause is the truth given in the Holy Bible, which we believe is the inerrant and infallible Word of God, conferred to man to live by. We let the Word of God be the final authority as to what is or is not true. We strongly feel that if we do not expose false doctrine, we only encourage it. This ministry is designed to challenge you from an apologetic point of view. 1 Peter 3:15 instructs us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. This is Michael Tinsley. Please stay tuned while we arm you, the believer, to keep living by the Word. It's the noble thing to do.
Well, good evening, everyone. Yes, it is a noble thing to do to keep living by the Word. And I want to say happy Resurrection Sunday to everyone out there. I hope we had a wonderful, wonderful day. And just remember what we were celebrating today is the raising of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Eric Stanton. I will be answering your phone calls today. I am here with Ozzy, our engineer extraordinaire, in our studio here. In just a minute, I'm going to be introducing you to the rest of our Bible Information Broker team. Before we do that, I want to give you our number, which is 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. And if it's a little easier for you to remember, 888-995-KKLA. As I promised, let me introduce one of the first members of our team, Mr. Daryl Easy D. Fulton. Daryl, how was your Sunday today?
Resurrection Sunday, brother, was wonderful. He is risen. He's risen indeed. So I don't know if you heard me or not, Eric, but thank you very much, brother. And we're going to get into the broadcast as you guys, Eric just gave you the number. You can go ahead and start calling now in the midst of your calling. And those that are able, I would ask that you join me in a word of prayer, and then I'll be introducing the other teammate, and we'll get right into the broadcast. So, Father God, we just, thank you. Just thank you for this. What we celebrate a special day as Resurrection Sunday, and without the resurrection of Christ, and we'll talk more about it during the broadcast prayerfully, without this particular day being celebrated, this particular day being has happened in the past, we would have a faith that is in vain. Without the risen Christ, that's our blessed hope. And we're going to talk about that later on the broadcast, Lord. We just ask that by your spirit, Father God, would help us with this broadcast, that we might set aside any distraction that may come in our mind, that, you know, we discipline ourselves for the next couple of hours, whereby whether you're the listening audience team, whether it's us on the radio side or the internet side, Father God, we just ask that we give you our best to honor you, to glorify you in this format that we have of question and answer. Help us, Lord. We ask for your help. We indeed need your help to even do the work to glorify you. It's like a child receiving money from a parent to buy him a gift. We thank you for the gift of life so that we might be able to glorify you, Father God. And even as we are glorifying you in this format, we will be edified in thus a beautiful circle of learning more about you to participate in your kingdom. And we thank you for the privilege and the honor. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Well, listening audience, I promise you I'll introduce the other teammate telephonically. I'm going to bring up my buddy, Professor Craig Hawkins, who I will continue to affectionately call to the day you call me home, PCH. How you doing, sir?
Doing well, thank you. Doing well.
And I want to thank you very much for those words. I'm still looking up that you sent me earlier about those extra little words you sent me on a text, not a fax, but a text, whereby I'm still looking those words up as my dad did when he used to tell me, look it up if you don't know what it means, look it up. So I appreciate those words that you sent me, PCH, and I'll be finished probably by next Wednesday with all those words you said. But PCH, what's happening with you today on Resurrection Sunday?
Well, I'm just enjoying it. Had a great day, and I'll be honest, I was thinking about our Dear Brother Brian, I thought Brian experienced Resurrection Sunday in a new and most profound way today.
Indeed, man. It's
in the very presence of God.
Wow. And I mean, tell you, I have so many questions. I almost forgot to give the number again where people can call in, because this is the opportunity as the teammates and the listening audience to call Eric. He has the open lines available. Call him right now at 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. Every other format, and Craig, we even have a new format where I think I did it right. If you were on the Truth Social, it's the same address. I was able to get the same address as everything else, whether it's Facebook, email, tweet, messenger, .com website, as far as the emails are concerned. If you're on Truth Social, you can also send us a question by that method, and it's all Bible Info Brokers. We're getting sophisticated here, PCH. Bible Info Brokers for email, tweet, messenger. What else? Facebook. Oh, yeah. And if you're on Facebook, by all means, please click that little share button. You know, check in, just type in your name, let us know that you're out there. And then click that share button, and it goes to your contacts. We really appreciate that by sharing. So we really appreciate that by doing that. And let me see. So Bible Info Brokers for all those formats and everything else. Is Bible Info Brokers. I'm sorry. And the phone number, you can call Eric right now. It's 888-995-5552. EHS, you want to come back on for a sec?
Yeah, I just wanted to see if we could actually give our listeners maybe a little homework assignment, and maybe we'll have a book for them or something. If we can, those words that you were talking about that the professor submitted to you, I want to read them off.
Oh, man. I was trying to wait till I got home and have some time and put my feet up.
We're going to put it out there.
Well, you go ahead and do that. You and Professor, okay. Go ahead and do that.
I'm going to try.
The first hey, PCH, one, hold on. PCH? Uh-huh. Listen very carefully. If he does not pronounce them right.
Oh, yes, definitely. So the first is lexicographical. Okay. And then, this one is not so bad. Semantically. And then the other one is iconography.
Craig, would you?
I know I butchered that.
Craig, would you please come in there and straighten them out, please? I don't even know if you have it before you, but those are your words. Lexicographical, cinematically, Craig, I was just listening audience, don't worry about that. That's just inside stuff right now. We have to get it right, and then we'll bring it back to you to win a book next time. Okay, Eric, when we can actually practice on saying it. Yeah, I thought I was a country boy of the team. I got a new country boy. PCH, but I thank you for those words. Folks, as you can probably guess by now, this is a live presentation, so no, you're not being tricked. It's not a prank. This is Resurrection Sunday, the most important day of the Christian life, and we're going to, you know, get into the subject matter. But please, 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 it is live. This is your broadcast. Call in, and we will deal with your questions as you call in, 888-995-5552, 888-995-KKLA. Hey, Eric, though, good try, though, brother. You want to ad-lib? There you go. That's the cost of live radio.
Just keeping it live, Eric.
Yes, you are. And also, folks, again, at Bible Info Brokers for Facebook, email, tweet, messenger, and now our new little format called Truth Social. And we're going to be getting on some other ones I'm checking into now where we can get your questions answered, not only here, but all during the week. And we'll give you an opportunity to know some of all the resources where you can send questions all during the week where we can have them set up and we can get them even answered on Wednesday, and some other resources that we have we'll be announcing later on. Now, PCA is back to you. I will turn the mic over to you and about Resurrection Sunday. I had a few questions, but I want you to go ahead. When you say you had a great resurrection, did you teach about anything like that today in Sunday school?
No, actually, took off today for regular church services.
Okay.
Because people have family and friends. So I did not do any special teaching today, but I'd be happy to do some now.
Yeah, and I got some stuff I want you to teach about too as well, PCH, because I really had a question that wasn't bothering me as much, but it was in reference to the resurrection, and I want to get it right as far as how I send my own message. I didn't have to write my own writing so I can read it, but it was dealing with the idea of I'll start off with the one in John 8:58, and where it was like fighting words? Now, I put it this way. Is it fighting words in John 8:58 whereby let me put it this way. I got to read it the way I put it. Let me just read John 8:58 first, and then I'll get the context. Because I had so many questions down. I'm looking at my own text to myself, and boy, do voice check. If you have voice text that you do, Craig, you got to spell check your own stuff, because when you look back at your messages, it's something else. And when you're doing live radio, it'd be better to be all prepared, which I wasn't with this one, even though I'm trying to read my own writing. So you know what? Let me just go through this. In the resurrection, I was listening to debates about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and people proving or disproving from a non-biblical or non-Christian or non-Jewish perspective. And people were asking a question in the debate, what evidence is there really that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? And since our Christianity would be in vain if he didn't rise in the dead, from the dead, it seemed like it would be a very serious subject that should be dealt with and satisfied every believer's mind. Because if you're not satisfied with that idea about Christ rising from the dead, then like the Bible talks about, our hope is in vain. And what are we doing this for? We have no hope.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the question is the main evidence that I've listened to about three or four debates today, was the main evidence seems to be the eyewitness testimonies of you know, more people. We even deal with that today in our own Jewish prudence, whereby, you know, two or three witnesses can send you to jail for the rest of your life and things like that if they're collaborating and there's nobody's going to impeach the witnesses. So is the eyewitnesses the strongest evidence that we have about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, or is there some other evidence that it was stronger than that?
Well, it's something stronger than that. That's a part of it. So it's a yes and no answer, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
And let me say a couple of things here. It's we call this an accumulative case or corroborating evidence. Corroborating evidence. So it's not just the eyewitnesses, okay? Because eyewitnesses can be fooled. Mm-hmm. Eyewitnesses can be wrong. I mean, it used to be in court, if you had an eyewitness testimony or even a confession, that was a done deal. But then they realized people didn't see what they thought they saw. They thought they could identify somebody. In fact, they didn't. They just assumed,
yeah.
Even a confession. So, but I'm not belittling that. Of course, by the way, I would argue it's not just the 12, or if you will, 11 disciples, take Judas out, and then eventually Paul put in. But in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul refers to over 500 at one time. And the idea would be, actually, that's only counting men, so that could have easily, should have been easily over 1,000, could have been as high as 1,500 or more with women and children. But at any rate, so eyewitness is vital, is important, but it's not just that, because, I mean, they could be hallucinating, they could be having visions, dreams, you know, psychotic episodes, breaks from reality. I mean, you name it. People claim to see all kinds of things. People claim to see Jesus or somebody else in a pizza pie, right? Or on a poster of pasta or whatever. But it's the empty tomb as well. So it's not just the empty tomb, because you could have an empty tomb, but they might not have put him there. The body could have been stolen. The Romans might have taken it. The Jews might have taken it. Jewish leaders, what have you. So it's not just an empty tomb, and it's not just eyewitness, but the two of them together is incredibly powerful, in addition to the prophecies and to some other things that I want to mention. Gary Habermas, in his just phenomenal book, The Historical Jesus, gives incredible evidence for the historicity of Christ, number one. And by the way, there's many sources. You can reconstruct all the major claims about Christ outside of the Bible. People think you always need the Bible, and I would argue it is a historically reliable document. But for a moment, let's just say it's not. We're not using it, but even from enemies of Christianity, we can piece together where Christ lived, things about his teaching, his alleged miracles. I say alleged for those who would be examining them and not assuming anything. The evidence is overwhelming that he is historical. So that's number one. And then the actual evidence, and Jesus tells us in John 2, for example, John chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, that the definitive sign would be his rising from the dead, that he would raise himself. He spoke of his body. Indeed, the classic work is Soma in the New Testament by Robert Gundry, G-U-N-D-R-Y, on what resurrection means. People have all kinds of views and goofy views. Anastasis is a Greek word, the name Anastasia, for example. Think of the name Anastasis, often given to certain people. But that's resurrection. It's bodily, and that's actually a redundancy. If it's not bodily, it's not a resurrection. But because we've so obfuscated and or misdefined or watered down the word, I'm saying on purpose, bodily resurrection, just like you're saying born again Christian. You guys say, what other type is there? Legitimately, that is. But so you have the empty tomb and you have the sightings. And again, you have to, and here's the kicker, you have to account for mass sightings. Look, it's one thing for somebody to hallucinate, thinking they saw, you know, Grandma Frida, Uncle Freddy, or whomever, right? Just be under duress, lack of sleep, what have you. But when multiple people claim to have seen Jesus and claim the exact same thing, he stood there, he sat here, he said this, he did that, he didn't do that. I mean, when you talk about precision among multiple people, there is no such thing, there is no record from psychology, sociology, or otherwise, of mass hallucinations. Now, there are people who've hallucinated in masses who are taking psychedelic drugs, you know, hallucinogenics and all that, but they see different things. They see sweet and hear sour. I mean, I'm purposely mixing the categories here. Especially LSDs, you know, psilocybin, easy for me to say, other hallucinogenics, if you will, mescaline and, you know, magic mushrooms, what have you. But the point is, but they don't have the exact same hallucinations. There's no record, there's no psychological account, no data of mass hallucinations, multiple people, multiple, many, not just one, even two, I mean, but multiple in the sense of 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 500 or more, especially, seeing the exact same thing. So you can't just say hallucination, which would probably be the most likely hypothesis to explain it away if it wasn't for the empty tomb and the mass sightings over multiple days. So you have the empty tomb, you have the sightings of Jesus, eyewitness testimony, and by multiple people at that. But then you have a couple other key things. You have the origin of the church, but you don't just have the beginning of the church right there in Jerusalem, not 5 years later, not 50 years later, not somewhere else, not 50 or 100 miles or kilometers away, right there in Jerusalem, that very weekend, Sunday, you got the start of the church, people claiming that Christ is risen, the empty tomb. And so you have, and here's the key points now, last couple one for now, is the disciples and their transformation. People say, well, they were believers. What do you mean they were believers? They were hiding out. They were cowering for their lives. Who were the first people to go to the tomb? Was it the disciples? No, it was the women. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and other followers and disciples of Jesus. The disciples were hanging out, scared, witless, and I'm sure I would have been as well, so I'm not picking on them. I would have to identify with that. But they were not believing. They didn't believe. Jesus had to appear to them, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and reminded them of what he said. So you can't just say, well, they're the followers, and they believed, and it's wish fulfillment or what we call confirmation bias. Look, they weren't buying it. They didn't believe it. They were defeated. They were rejected, downtrodden. They felt that they had the Messiah, who they thought was going to be, had failed, and that they were dupes. They bought into this. So you have the transformation of the disciples, including James, the half-brother of our Lord, who's a skeptic, who earlier in John had mocked Jesus. Oh, go up to Jerusalem. If you're all that, buddy, nobody hides out here in the backwoods. Go up and show yourself if you think you're all that. To paraphrase, so you have the transformation of the disciples and their turn from cowards to basically willing, and literally most of them did die, were tortured, persecuted for their faith. You have the birth of the church right then, right there, and you have, so the transformation of these individuals, and then the empty tomb, and then the sightings of Jesus. And look, you only have so many parties. You have to go through this thing. It's just like, you know, God forbid, but when someone's murdered or some other crime has happened today, you don't just start start interviewing everybody. You get a list of persons of interest or suspects, right? And who would be the suspects here? Well, there's only so many groups. It would be, for example, maybe the Romans took the body. They wanted an end put to this stuff, and so they took it. But when it was starting to be claimed that Christ had risen from the dead, they would have easily, could have, should have produced the body and said, shut up. We've let the body knock this stuff off. The religious leaders could have done the same thing. Of course, you have a guard on the tomb, but at least they're someone we should look into. Number three, the family, his actual literal mother and brother and sisters. Now, some of them were actually disciples, so it gives the fourth category, the disciples. Of course, that would have been the biggest scam ever. People who talked about honesty, integrity, even if it costs you, and then here they are lying about the ultimate delusion, deception of some alleged resurrection. But you have the four parties, of, in any order, the Roman leaders, the Jew and or Jewish leaders, and or Jesus' biological family, and or his disciples. And then there is a fifth category. Most people don't get this one if we did a quiz. Grave robbers. Grave robbers could have possibly taken the body. But, of course, you'd ask why. I mean, they were generally looking for valuables. They're not robbing graves like some Frankenstein movie. And you have the Roman guard on there. So those are the groups. But if the Romans and the Jews and either one had the body, they would have produced it. The disciples, eventually somebody would have cracked. And it's just preposterous to believe that they all suffer incredible persecution, and most of them die or indeed are tortured for their faith, and not one of them ever says, okay, we punked you all, it was just a great ruse, you know, what have you. They go to their death, and they talk about being honest, integrity, speaking the truth, even if it costs you, and it costs them dearly. So the disciples, that's just crazy. The family, same thing. Somebody would have found the body. Somebody would have cracked. It would, the evidence clearly would have been shown to be that it was a fake. And then the grave robbers, but then you'd have to explain how they got into the tomb with the Roman guard. So when you examine the key people who would be the suspects, it doesn't fly with any of them. You have to account for the transformation of the apostles, and eventually later on, of course, Apostle Paul, and the family members. I mean, that's incredible. So the evidence is overwhelming. Long now with, sorry, your original question, what about the eyewitness value? Well, the eyewitness value is important, but it's not the be-all, end-all.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
The eyewitness value with the empty tomb, with everything else we just said. There's more, but there's not less.
Well, that type of evidence definitely would, you have to go by it, because I'm just thinking about the idea that we're counting on it from an eternal perspective. But at the same time, even if it wasn't true, the way being sold out for the Word of God and what the Word of God says about how to do this life, if we were nothing like but a bunch of energy and that's all it was going to be, like annihilation, at least we've lived in this life in a standard, in a way that it seems like the whole world that has any kind of law and order kind of goes by what the Bible talks about anyway, for the most part, at least in the Western world, at least. You know, that's a lot of our laws come from the biblical perspective, from the Ten Commandments and things like that. And what a great way to live, even if it wasn't true. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a friend who has a manuscript on a book that I use to teach what's called legal institutions and values, and showing the laws and including the laws of evidence, things like beyond a reasonable doubt, preponderance of evidence, mm-hmm. clear and convincing evidence, but the right to confront your accusers, so on and so forth, comes from the Judeo-Christian tradition. So you're absolutely right. And Daryl, I do want to say this. I want to be very clear here. In the time we have, I could deal with a lot of evidence, but if someone says, well, you believe this for X, Y, and Z, I'm going to come back to that in a moment. Do you just want to believe this? But I'm going to recommend the book again by Gary Habermas, The Historical Jesus, because he deals with overwhelming, not just biblical evidence, but external evidence, that is, witnesses who testified about Jesus said things about him who weren't even believers, and some of them were clearly not believers. So someone says, you just believe because mommy and daddy taught you, or your favorite third grade Sunday school teacher. No, I'm convinced, I'm compelled by the evidence. I became and remain a Christian because I believe I'd have to renounce my education to the third grade and renounce all my my learning to not believe. I was looking for reasons to get out of Christianity. It was cramping my lifestyle. Things like be nice to people you don't like and treat them well and stuff. I'd rather, background in martial arts and that, I'd rather just deal with somebody or ignore them at best. At worst, I would, in my younger days, would harm somebody, just like, don't mess with me. But the point is, God calls us to love people. Why would I want to do that? It wouldn't come natural to me. But I'm so convinced of the truthfulness of Christianity. But I'm saying, we're not asking people to take our word. We are asking you, though, it's worth it for this claim. Because if it's true, it makes eternal demands on your soul that you ought to look into it. Read one book, like The Historical Jesus by Gary Habermas, Ancient Evidence for the Life of Christ. And I believe the evidence is phenomenal, and that the only reasonable thing, unless you just believe there is no God, there can't be a God, should say. There is no God, can't be a God, and you just don't want to believe, but then just admit it. You want to be immoral. You want to do what you want to do. You want to live your life as if there's no God who's going to hold you accountable. That would be the only, and quote, acceptable reason to me to not believe, because you just don't want to believe, a number of thinkers have said. But I believe the evidence is overwhelming, and that's why I'm a believer, and that's why I continue to believe, Daryl, and do what I do and spend my life teaching Christianity and talking about these issues, because I believe the evidence is so overwhelming for those who will pay attention, who will examine it and look at it, that it is it says in the old King James Version, Christ presented himself alive by many infallible proofs, and I believe the evidence establishes the historicity and indeed the resurrection of Christ from the dead, from the reasons I said and a whole lot more if we had more time.
Well, indeed, I appreciate that. Well, look, I'll tell you one thing. We might have some more time to spend on that, because people are not calling in. Eric, I don't know if Eric said anything to the people. I thought he was rather nice when he opened up the broadcast this evening. So call Eric right now. He has some lines open at 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552 or 888-995-KKLA. Call him right now. You have those open lines. Get you in the queue. Set it up. We get those questions asked and answered. All the other formats is indeed Bible Info Brokers. Bible Info Brokers. I'm trying to work this board here at PCH, where I actually got that new social media thing up, Truth Social. So if you have a Truth Social account, you can actually send a question. I really appreciate if you would do that. And if you're the first person that has a Truth Social account and you send us a question by that method, I'll make sure that Eric, the book that he was trying to give away to people today, we didn't get that together. I'll give a book of Eric's choice away to the person that sends us a question by Truth Social, be the first one that we ever had. Everything else is Bible Info Brokers for Facebook, email, tweet, messenger, or .com website. That's the email portion of it. So that's Bible Info Brokers for everything, even Truth Social. So take advantage of that. Now, PCH, we do have a question by way of Facebook, and it's from our dear friend, Brother Timothy. And this is an interesting question, and I'll see how you deal with it. I wrote down a few things about it as I was writing the question down. And he says, who is the worst person in the whole crucifixion story, Pilate or Judas? And then he says, parenthetically, or does it matter to our theology? I'm curious to know what you have to say, because I have a couple of thoughts about that.
Well, I'm going to argue, and this is just a matter of perspective. Mm-hmm. I get that. The worst person in the whole crucifixion account would be me.
Ah.
I'm the one. It's my sins. I put Christ on there. Look, if we hadn't sinned, individually and collectively, he wouldn't need to die for our sins and pay the price in full for the penalty of our sins, of our disobedience and ungodliness towards God, ironically, and even towards one another. So I'm not here to blame anybody else except myself. And it's like the problem of evil. When people want to rant and rave, or legitimately or not, about the problem of evil, then blame yourself. Look in the mirror. You and I, we are the source. We are the ones, because of our sins, because of our transgressions, because of our trespasses, because of our sins missing the mark. We're the ones that put Christ on the cross. We're the ones that got him crucified. It is our fault. So the worst person I know in this scenario is actually me.
Even though you weren't included in Timothy's choices, but I'm leaning towards what you said. Not that it'd be you, but I would say both of them plus all of us. And the reason why I'm saying them too that he mentioned, because in my thinking, we have friends that deal with life like Pilot does, where you may have friends and relatives and people you associate with that's dealing with his big question when Jesus talked to him about truth, about him being the way, the truth, and the life. And then Pilate's talking about, well, what is truth? What is truth? You have friends that deal with that. The whole belief system and from the mind sciences to all kind of other belief systems deal with the idea that what is truth? You know, the agnostics, especially you have agnostic friends that deal with the idea, what is truth? Come on now, what difference does it really make? What is truth anyway? And then people like Judas who actually have done some things, turn it back. Well, number one, Judas is very important, or, you know, kind of, he didn't ask a question about important, but he asked a question about being the worst person. But I'm thinking about Judas from the standpoint of prophecy. Judas because it was prophesied that he would do what he did. And I was looking at all the chances and the odds of people, of all the things that happened during the crucifixion and all the prophecies that happened way before the crucifixion and the odds. You know, I love numbers, Craig. And I was thinking about the odds of those things being that way. But you also have people like Judas who has done some very terrible things in life and even think about committing suicide. And we deal with those people. So all of those things, the self-murderer, the one that's questioning the agnostic person is questioning about whether there is any kind of truth at all, plus all of us. That would be my answer, Craig, about the worst person in the crucifixion story. And I really appreciate your answer as taking personal responsibility. You know, and it's kind of interesting, even though we weren't here, but from the standpoint of what we represent, we can represent the worst person. And from my perspective, it's all of this Judas, Pilate, and all of us.
Yes, absolutely. And I want to say one more thing for everything time gets away. This is key here. There are different definitions of truth. I have a whole handout on truth from a pragmatic perspective, from what is called correspondence, theory of truth, coherence, but relativistic views, all kinds of views dealing with so-called truth. But what we want to say here is we're not saying this is true just because we believe it, some subjective test that, well, if I believe it, you know, kind of that settles it. If I believe it, it's true for me. Well, that's kind of irrelevant other than just a note of, well, you believe something, then you think it's true, whatever that means. But it's the idea, just like in a court of law, the idea is that the evidence, it can be objectively examined, whether one holds to it or not. You don't have to be a believer to affirm the evidence. It should make you a believer, but it's the idea that it can be objectively verified, which means that it can be objectively falsified. In other words, it's not just, well, you can't falsify it because I believe it and you can't refute my belief. It would be if you could produce the body, if you could give definitive evidence that Christ didn't exist or that he didn't rise from the dead, that would be the end of Christianity. But given that that's not the case and that, for example, produce the body and Christianity is over, but we would argue it can be objectively verified and therefore falsified. And we believe the evidence is so overwhelming, again, when one examines it, that one will, in fact, if they're honest, if they go with the evidence, that is, and not just if they're honest and not just obstinate, that is, I refuse to believe no matter what the evidence, that they're going to be compelled to become a believer because the evidence is, again, such as the KJV says, many.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you, PCH. 888-995-5552 if you want to call in. Yolanda, hang in there, Joy. We're going to get to your call momentarily. 888-995-5552 is a number to call. Eric will put you in the queue and we get your questions answered from a biblical perspective. That's what it's all about, the Bible Information Brokers. Our Facebook, email, tweet, messenger, at our .com website, and now this new little social thing we have called Truth Social. So if you're a person that's on Truth Social, you know who you are if you have that. I'm looking forward to seeing how this thing works. Actually, send us a question and we'll make sure that we get you a book and maybe one of choice, because we have a plethora of books. Definitely from Brian's office, Craig, when our dear brother left. You know, like I said, everything we have is going to be temporary to us, as it were, and then we have quite a few books that Ari was nice enough to give to the ministry, whereby, you know, we're going to offer some of those books that Brian have had over the years. Now, if you go before me, PCH, I'd rather have a reverse order because I'm older.
I don't want to deal with all them books and everything you have, bro. So I'm asking the Lord, if my preference would be for me to go first, you know, and then get on Brian's case for leaving before me. But the idea is that I don't want to deal with the books. You talk about Brian got some books, brother. I just know you have exponentially more than he does, and I don't want to deal with any of those things as far as physically I'm talking about, not the idea that it could be shared. But anyway, send us a question, 888-995-5552. Call Eric, Bible Info Brokers, for all those media and social media platforms I gave you, Facebook, email, tweet, Messenger, are now even Truth Social. So send us a question by that way, and if you do it on Truth Social, we'll get you a book, maybe of your choice, by giving you several options there. PCH, let's go to the phone call. Let's take Yolanda's call, and Joy, we'll be next to you right after with Yolanda from North Hollywood. Thanks for holding on and calling in.
Hi.
Hi, Yolanda. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
I just wanted to confirm something. During this season, this Holy Week, and even more specifically today, I get a lot of people wishing me a happy Easter, my brother, some friends, and I always correct them, I guess I would say, or inform them that as a Christian, I don't celebrate Easter, and I tell them why, from what I found out, you know, it's a pagan holiday, it's a, you know, the goddess Esther, and that's how Easter formed itself or whatever, or, you know, evolved, and so I'm just asking you all, is that, yeah, as a part of witnessing, is it, okay, proper to always stand up for your faith and just inform people, you know, what your boundaries are.
And interesting, you know what? You'll be in the gang of PCH, because that sounds like something he would, that sounds like something he always says. PCH, go ahead and take it. You being the OG of this particular movement.
Well, thanks, Yolanda. Yeah, it is debated, but I personally, you've noticed I don't use the term Easter. I've used Resurrection Sunday on purpose, because, and it's debated, excuse some of this, but I think the evidence is fairly clear. If you, some people say, well, look, it goes back to the Germans and the Teutonics who've influenced the Germans, and Easter basically just means, comes from the word east, it means the morning, the sun rising in the morning. So sunrise morning, if you will. But I would argue, going back before that, it's, why is it that across the board, except for now Rome, where it's Venus, but in everywhere else, it's the Greeks, you know, Astarte, you know, we talk about Astaroth. So all the names, the cognates, I would argue, or what etymologically where it derives from, are dealing with a goddess who, in particular, sometimes she was a goddess of war, but she was always a goddess of fertility, that it was involved sexuality, often licentiousness, but clearly was a fertility cult, whether by the Hittites and other Semitic people. When it came into Israel, you think of the Phoenicians, what's called Ugaritic, and their worship of Astaroth as well. And so I have a whole handout on this. There's multiple names that are very similar to each other, which I believe that's where Easter comes from. And so I believe that part is pagan. By the way, why bunnies? Well, bunnies are always been a fertility symbol because they are prolific in their procreation. Why an egg? Because eggs are a symbol of life, again, the origin of life. And so now the timing of Easter is not a pagan issue, because we know when the Passover was, and therefore, you know, when now the Protestant Church versus Eastern Orthodox have a little bit of a difference in the actual timing of Resurrection Sunday, although they're very close, so often just within a week or two of each other. But the timing's not up for dispute. That's not a pagan holiday issue. But the name Easter, I would argue, etymologically does derive from pagan forms of worship. I mean, across the board, from the Greeks to the Phoenicians to the Hittites to, again, many other Semitic people to Israel when Israel compromised. Notice you look up how many times Baal had his consort, Ashtoreth, and so you see this over and over and over again. And to me, it's not just coincidence. There's a reason, because Easter does derive, from my opinion, from occultism, and particularly goddess worship, and that a goddess who was primarily the goddess of fertility and of sexuality. And so I have a problem with that. There's a great book. There's many. I've researched this a number of books, but there's a classic book on ancient Near Eastern religions called Myth and Mystery. Myth and Mystery by Jack Finnegan, Finnegan. And it's kind of a standard work, and he talks about this issue. And all the Hebrew dictionaries I've consulted over the years and whatnot all basically say the same thing, and that's why I'm of this opinion. So I'm with you. I use it as a point among Christians and non-Christians, and thank you very much. I try not to be, negative or sound, what's the word I want? Well, anyways, toxic on. I just want to, I really thank you, but I really don't celebrate Easter. I celebrate Resurrection Sunday. And that gives me an opportunity, if they're open at all, to explain why I call it Resurrection Sunday and what the significance is of the resurrection and how vital it is to the truth of Christianity, which turns upon two ultimate truths. That is, Jesus must, number one, exist, and number two, must be who he said he was, and that his definitive proof, as he says in John 2:19-21, is his resurrection from the dead. So it just gets me right into the gospel.
You know, that's a good point that you make, Craig and Yolanda, and I hear what you guys both are saying. It seems like this is another way that we do our apologetics, and like we said in the beginning of our opening, that when we tell people about the hope that we have within us, we have to do it with gentleness and respect and let the chips fall where they may. People, like we said last week, Craig, we may get cussed out. You may get cussed out, Yolanda. You know, I'm sure we've heard these words before, and again, they're doing it because who Jesus is. It's Jesus' message. We're just the under shepherds, as it were, or the messenger. We're just planting or watering, and we're counting on God to give the increase. And if someone's going to go off on us, then guess what? They're going off on the Lord.
On the Lord. Well, you know what, guys? I almost hear the breathing, like the sigh under the breath. Like, oh, there she goes.
Yeah. that's it. Welcome to the club.
That's what I get. But you know what? For the Lord, yes, there I go again. Thank you. You know, it's why I don't celebrate Halloween. I give it to him then. And do you know that I attend a church here in the Valley, Grace Community, and you could not get in church today?
What? You mean folks are showing? You mean folks are just showing up?
They just showed up. Ain't showed up all year long, and they don't show up today.
Were you gracious? Okay, you should have gave your seat up, Yolanda. They should get your seat.
Okay? They heard the message from John MacArthur up on there about dying in your sins. Okay, all them people that don't normally go to church, they came to church today, and they heard the gospel. Okay.
Wow, that's beautiful. Well, you know what? That was a good chance for you to give up your seat, and for them to get that message. That's a wonderful thing. Thank you very much for your phone call, Yolanda.
All right, talk to y'all later.
All righty. Hey, PCA, you know how I have these little nicknames. We have different nicknames for each other. When Yolanda was saying what she was saying, I remember when I talked to people. I have an aunt and uncle in Atlanta. They know who they are, and they we were talking to them. They said, look, I want you to be able to give me an answer without giving me some kind of Bible verse and all that stuff. And they said, I bet you drive people crazy. I said, what are you suggesting? Like, we just came from church. I went to you guys' church with you. And they said, you know what? You are a brilliant biblical guy, man. But that can be a buffoonery. I said, what? I said, you know what? That's my new nickname with you guys. You're the only one that can call me the brilliant biblical buffoon. So that's my nickname with them.
Yeah. If someone's going to malign me, then that's what I want to be for. Hey, Darrell, time's getting away quickly. I want to mention, if you don't mind, this is the last day I'm going to be mentioning this, is that I'm plan on doing a class for the Trinity Law Graduate School where I teach, and taking a class of students and people to Cambodia and trafficking.
Yes, yes.
And we're down to the deadline, really, up until I need to know by the end of today. Well, I should
tomorrow.
Say tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday at the absolute latest. I have a few more places open if people want to go, if they're interested in seeing not just human trafficking, because you might go, oh, I don't want to see that. That's disgusting. Why would I want to see that? But to make a difference, then see how Christian organizations primarily are making a difference. They're the ones that are making a difference, getting little boys and little girls out of sex trafficking, slavery, and even sometimes, many times it's done by their parents, not just sometimes, many times over there, and how Christian organizations are making a difference, and how we here in America can make a difference even over there, let alone here as well. So at any rate, but it is $1,500, but that includes your on-the-ground transportation. That does not include your flight over, but it includes all of your hotel bills and that as well. And to me, it's really, by the time you do that and some of your meals, that's an incredible deal. But I do need to get the word out because time is expiring quickly on this. So I need to know by the end of tomorrow, Monday. And if you are interested in going on this trip, which is primarily a class to my law students, but it's, again, emphasizing Christian ministry and Christians involved in making a difference in human trafficking in Cambodia, which is past Thailand years ago, being the world center for child prostitution, human trafficking. You can help make a difference. And part of that is being in the know and being informed of what's going on. And if you want to see that firsthand and know, you are invited. But you need to contact me by tomorrow, and here's how, at C, not G, but C, as in Craig, C, C Hawkins, H-A-W-K-I-N-S, at TIU.edu. That's C Hawkins at TIU.edu. And let me know you're interested, want some information or otherwise. And you need to do that tomorrow, otherwise the door is going to close. So there you go. C. Hawkins at TIU, Trinity International University, dot, of course, EDU, education for the school. If you're interested and help come make a difference. Also, you can help make a difference by standing with us prayerfully and financially. Speaking of trips, I'm getting ready to go. That is in June and the first week of July, going to India, back to India and Nepal, dealing with training Christian missionaries, pastors, and other Christian leaders and sharing the gospel. Some of them literally going to unreached people groups, literally, who've never heard the gospel. We're training these guys. We pay their travel, their room and board. Of course, the training is free for them, and you can be a part of that. You can also help support this ministry. That is, for example, how we attempt to take care of, help pay, at least I should say, the insurance premiums of our dear brother Brian's, our late brother Brian, his wife. We do that with the overhead. We don't have building expenses, mortgages, all that stuff. We don't draw a salary. This money goes basically right to what we say we're using it for. You can be a part of that. And then as well, you know, I mentioned the TOT, the training of trainers. The one I just mentioned is a Faithful Friend Fund, and or just for the general operating expenses of the ministry, including the radio program, the website, and maintenance thereof. Daryl, how can people stand with us and make a difference?
You know, Craig, I really appreciate that. So remember, that's the FFF for the Faithful Family Friend Fund, TOT for the teaching of trainers, and the BIB just for the general fund. You know, you can just put in a general and take care of all the associated costs to run the ministry. Like you said, no overhead and everything like Craig already mentioned. Please designate. If you don't designate, we put in a general fund and then feed the various ministries as the needs present themselves. And we really appreciate that. If you're going to do any kind of paperwork as far as a check is concerned or a money order or anything like that, you're going to contact your bank so you can save that stamp money and then not have to worry about mailing it out yourself. Then if you're going to do that, make sure that you write all checks out to LBTW, or Living by the Word, and then you're going to mail it to P.O. Box 90477. That's P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. Once again, anything that you're going to write in, envelope, check, cashier's check, money order, anything like that, anything writing, must go to LBTW, or Living by the Word, at P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. Now, if you have access to the Internet, you're on the Internet right now, you can actually go there right now and click our website. Click the icon on our website. That's Port and Donate. The website is Bible Info Brokers. You're probably going to hear that 1,000 more times tonight. Bible Info Brokers. Click the icon that says Support and Donate. Follow the simple instructions. You can give monthly. You can give one time. What have you. Please take advantage of that. And then by giving, there's no amount too great. There's no amount too little. We really appreciate that. And for the special thing that Craig was talking about as far as Cambodia, anybody out there that has the Lord's money and you want to sponsor someone to go, please, please, please contact Craig like that, and Craig will give you all the instructions that you need to do that at chawkins@tiu.edu. And make sure you get that out tonight, tomorrow. Craig, I'm communicating with somebody, and if they're actually going to be have a chance to go because they have passport and everything in order, then I'll be going with them because I'm going to take them. But they have to qualify. I have to see if what they're qualifying is. So I may be grabbing two of those spots. And you had like 5 or 6 spots available. Craig, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, so I think he has about 5 spots available. So if anybody out there got the Lord money and you want to support or just sponsor someone because you can afford that, then by all means, contact Craig. By the way, we just told you, and you need to do that tonight. So by the latest is tomorrow, say, evening by 5 o'clock. Please get that done. Just let us know what you want to do with that. It's a great opportunity. I hope I get a chance to go. If this person can go, then I will definitely make every attempt to go myself, PCH, if this person can go, dear person to my heart. Anyway, getting back to ministry stuff, take advantage of the giving. We thank you, thank you, thank you 1,001% in advance. For all those that's been giving in the past and you continue to give, you are the reason why we can do this. Like Craig said many times before, you are going vicariously because the Lord is working through you and through us to get this help to the people, various things from learning to dealing with all everything that you heard us talk about. So please, please, please designate and take advantage of that opportunity. PCH, let's get back to the phone calls at 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552. We're going to get to those phone calls. We have some Facebook questions, Craig, and we also have a question from our new Truth Social platform. So I must have did something right because I see a question here from Josue. And if I'm pronouncing your name right, he's going to correct me if I'm not. And I love what he put on here as far as his little ID. It says, I love God and my family. So Josue, if I'm pronouncing it right, or Josue, and Eric, you can correct me if you see it on there. If not, I'll highlight it. But we're going to get to your question momentarily. But let's go to our dear friend Joy in the city of Costa Mesa. Joy, thanks for holding on and calling in.
Absolutely, and happy resurrection. And I hate that name, Easter, so happy resurrection. Praise the Lord.
Indeed, indeed.
Well, I have a question that I've been thinking about all week. And why did the Lord take so long to send us the Savior, Jesus? Why? I know it says in Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of the time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. But in the fullness of time, but wow, it was a long time to wait, you know, from creation till now.
Perspective, huh?
Yeah.
PCH, why so long?
What do you think?
Well, I would argue because according to God, it's not so long. We mm-hmm. God sees time differently than we do. They think of a day as a thousand years as a day with the Lord. So God has a different perspective. And on that passage in Galatians you're referring to, by the way, it's interesting, Joy. You probably know this, but to make sure you do and or the rest of our audience, the two major words in Greek for time, chronos, where we get, of course, our word chronological or chronology, but kairos, and the word used here is kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S, and kairos means the appointed time, the exact time, the fulfillment of time. So it's not just the time, but at the right time, at the perfect time, at the apex, God's timing would be impeccable, if you will, from God's perspective. Not a second early, not a second late, just right. And no doubt there were many, many, many reasons, but I will conjecture a few of them, offer a few. But again, I want to point out the word kairos here is in the translation you mentioned, the fullness of time, but it means fullness in the sense of complete, perfect timing. And it's that part of it is there's things to be worked out. So in eternity, but there's things to be worked out in eternity and time. And with as far as the birth and the lineage of Jesus and so on and so forth. But even just metaphysically or philosophically speaking, I would argue that God's letting us see how bad we are. I mean, it's just a common rule, even of sales, but of life. If somebody doesn't see the value of something, they don't want it, even if it's free. You know, if I'm on an air, perfectly good airplane, I don't want a parachute. That would be uncomfortable. Why would I want it, especially if I had to put it on my back? I mean, that would be kind of a pain. But if I know the plane's going down, oh, you bet, give me a parachute. And so we are just incredulous. We're just incorrigible when it comes to thinking we're really not that bad. And if we just tried this approach, this technique, this system, this method, we could redeem society. If we just put more money into it, if we just didn't have poverty, and not that we, you know, and I don't want poverty or hunger, that would end crime. And we're so naive. It's just not true. Adam and Eve were in a perfect environment and they still messed up. We often want to blame the environment and everything else but ourselves. And I think part of it is God saying, look, I'll let you see how bad you really are. You are that bad. We are that messed up. I find it humorous when people think, well, we're not that bad. Or some even, well, we're good. Humans are basically good. Then you're like, okay, then why is there so much evil in the world? Unless you want to just deny it. And then they want to say, well, again, it's because of economics. It's because of this or because of that, lack of opportunities, education. And that's like, that's not it. There are people who are incredibly educated who are viciously criminal. There are people who've had almost everything you possibly want, and they're still not satisfied. They want more, and they're willing to rip people off, including, you know, retirees, widows, and widowers. They're willing to take their whole life savings or their retirement and steal that from them so that they can, you know, the Bernie Madoffs of the world, if you will. So I just see God's timing is impeccable. We tend to think God takes too long, but God would say, and I believe ultimately will show us in light of eternity, and the best talks are not given here, but on the other side of the death of eternity, is God would show you, no, my timing is just right. We think he's often late, but God would say, no, I'm never late. I'm there just at the right time. God is always there, and he answers at his time, not ours, because think of it, it's like an infinite computer that can factor in all these variables. I only can deal with so many variables. I only can handle so many. But God, infinite in wisdom, could handle an infinite number, literally, of variables, and it, to him, it's no problem. So he takes all those into consideration, and when he does something, when he allows something, either he does it directly or he allows it to happen, it's at just the right time.
That was an impeccable answer. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you for your phone call, Joy.
Just one more quick one, really quick.
Joy, actually,
last night.
Joy, we have about 90 seconds left, so I need to get into the numbers and everything. But why don't you give us a call back next week, if you'd be so kind.
Okay.
All right. God bless you, sweetheart. Happy Resurrection Day.
Thank you. Thank you for your kindness, Joy.
Indeed.
Always good to hear from you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have about, like I said, 90 seconds left before the top of our break. And PCH, this little true social thing, it looks like it works pretty good. I'm going to have to learn how to do all these little social medias so we can give the people an opportunity to get their questions asked and answered. And we have some more resources we're going to tell them about on the other side of the break. So please take an opportunity to call in. We have a few open lines at 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. Eric is ready to receive your phone call, and we get you queued up on the other side of the break. And we have a very important message coming on the other side of the break, so please do not go anywhere. Matter of fact, if you're on social media now, especially Facebook, and you're viewing us that way, click that share button. Share with a few thousand of your friends that you have out there in cyberspace. Let them know that you listen to a live presentation of the Bible Information Brokers right now so they can get their questions asked and answered no matter where they are in the world at this time. Bible Info Brokers is the address for Facebook, email, tweet, messenger, or even now, Truth Social. So if you have any of those formats, by all means, take an opportunity to send us questions by those formats. You can hear the music in the background. That means we are taking a break. Ozzie got it all set up, all queued up. So we'll be back after these messages with more of the Bible Information Brokers. Call Eric right now, 888-995-5552. God bless. We'll be back after these messages.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.